This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Everybody, this is Circus Maximus, and I'm your host, Nick Spiro. Today is August 12th, 2016. Happy Friday. And today I have an early show. I have a special guest for you all. Today, his name is Ole Damegaard, and his website is lightonconspiracies.com. Ole has a hell of a resume. This guy has traveled around the world to several different countries. He's an artist. He's an author. He's been at several different lectures. He's also utilized yoga for healing of the mind and spirit. There's just so much on this man's resume that we could talk about it for hours. Ole, welcome to the show. I really appreciate this. A lot of people are looking forward to you being on Renegade Broadcasting today.
Thank you so much, Nick. It's a real pleasure and an honor.
Yes, it is an honor as well to have you on a show, our show, and with the type of knowledge and research and a lot of the things that you have uncovered. You've written a book, that first book that you wrote was the coup d'etat in slow motion, which has had a lot of different reads. You did offer that for free for a while. And could you first talk about your book, coup d'etat in slow motion, so that we can get a feel of if we have some people who don't know who you are and you can kind of break the ice in that way?
Well, I spent the last 30-odd years trying to find out what's actually going on in the world. And it's been sort of a strange trip because when I look at my bookshelf over the years, it's been like either into very light things, spirituality and healing and, like you said, yoga, much Raja Yoga, and then very dark stuff like the New World Order, top assassinations, false flag operations, these type of things. And for many years, I tried to do everything I could to find out the truth about the JFK assassination, which was the first one that really got me going. And then that made me very interested in the Robert Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and so on. And then when the Swedish Prime Minister, where I was living in Sweden at the moment, at that time, when he was assassinated in 1986, I saw the exact same signs of a massive big conspiracy in Sweden as well. So I moved to Stockholm and I devoted some 12 years of my life in Stockholm trying to find out what had happened there. And it got me so deep into a very, very dark area that two of my friends was murdered and I was threatened as well, and I decided to leave Sweden. So I've been living in Spain here since the year 2000. And my book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion, is connecting the dots between that assassination of Olof Palme and in great, great detail. It's almost 1,000 pages, part one and part two. A lot and lots of details around that assassination, the names of photos, the maps, the documents, everything around that, who was involved, who was the shooters, alternative shooters, getaway drivers, the walkie-talkie men, the radio operators, and also the involvement of Swedish police, Swedish government, but also connected to the power structure that goes under the name of the New World Order with people like Bush Sr. and Operation 40 top assassins from around the world that were taking part of this assassination. So this book is not only focusing on the Olof Palme assassination, but it goes into the whole Iran-Contras Freemasonry network. It connects dots with direct personal connections with the JFK assassination, the John Lennon assassination, and others. And because actually the people or the power behind the New World Order have been using more or less the same core of elite assassins since the late 50s, and some of them are still active up to this very day, even though they spent many years educating new assassins and so on. But the core group has been very, very central in many, many assassinations all over the world. So my attempt has been to try and expose this, how these things are connected, and how so much of the mayhem we see in the world today is actually carried out by very few.
I too have been looking into deeply into the Iran-Contra, especially for the past 6 months, I would say. And a big part of what I've discovered is that same template that you've also shared is how that template has been used all over the world with the coup d'etats, the neoliberal policies, the utilization of assassination and overthrows of government whenever you see any sort of friction or rise of revolutionary movements. You see this type of undercover coup d'etat type, like a Pinochet type of situation. This template keeps being utilized over and over again. And I also have seen this same template being utilized over in the Middle East as well.
It is the template, I think, that was that I believe it was the old Romans that came up with it, and it's just been very successful, so they've stuck with it. But I believe that when you look at the history of the Western world, especially the U.S. and Europe and so on, what happened in the late 50s or after the Second World War has really set the footprint for what is going on today. And I believe that the assassination of JFK was not only the murder of a president, but also a coup d'etat almost globally, where that assassination was the first step where they really got the whole team in position. And I would humbly suggest that all the presidents of the U.S. that has followed have just been a new fancy cover of the same very, very brutal death machine that took over that day in Dallas, 1963.
Yeah, I completely agree. When the rise of Donald Trump has taken place for the past year or so, I've started looking into him and his deep connections, and what stood out the most was Roy Cohn. I'm not sure if you've looked into him at all, but with his connections, he had a dislike, a real hatred towards the Kennedys, and I also discovered that he had a relationship with a David Shine, where he was trying to prevent him from going to the military overseas and whatnot. And David Shine his family owned the Ambassador Hotel where Robert Kennedy was assassinated at. So there was that connection there, plus Roy Cohn's connection to the Lionel Corporation Perm Index, which I've kind of been seeing that there's a connection to the JFK assassination with this Perm Index. Have you found those connections at all?
I don't recognize all of it, but Perm Index was very crucial in the JFK setup of the assassination for sure. Yeah. It's very important to not jump to conclusion when it comes to these things, because the accusations we bring forward are very, very serious. I mean, we're talking about murders of the leaders of countries and so on. But the power structure, when you look behind it, I'm not talking about Trump now because I know very little about him. I've been so focused on all these false flags that have been pulled off the last year or two here, especially in Europe and the mass shootings in the U.S.
Yes.
And so I haven't followed him. And really, I look very little into the elections of presidents and so on, because at this point in history, if I'm correct, it is so rigged that it's not even worth looking into, because you're looking at two or three arms of the same body. So it doesn't really matter who you choose. You will still have the same very brutal power structure in place.
Completely.
And this
agree.
Is why you never see any change. It's the same, the same, the same. It doesn't matter who is elected. They promise you a lot, and then boom, they get into office, and then it just continues.
I completely agree, and it's almost like this whole playing off of the left and the right, where when Obama came and he was selected, it was no anybody but a Bush. So that was the complete shift over to that. And now it seems as if this whole selection process is going to be we don't want another Clinton or a Bush. So it seems like the shift is going towards Trump to being selected, especially with a lot of these engineered anomalies with Hillary Clinton, with health ailments and all these different WikiLeaks exposures and the FBI with her emails. It just seems completely engineered to shift that. So I completely agree. It really doesn't matter who becomes president. Now, I would like to introduce our audience more to the Operation Gladio, because some of these people, especially on Twitter, go with the official narrative, and they believe a lot of the perpetrators of the disinformation campaign, like Pamela Geller and Geert Wilders and Robert Spencer, like the Jihad Watch. So it seems as if the shift from the Cold War and blaming communism has shifted over to blaming the terrorist Muslim kind of campaign going on. So can you introduce us to what Operation Gladio entailed and the whole evolution of that?
I sure can. I would like to go a bit further back in history first, because over during all the centuries, there's always been a small little group of people that have elected themselves as the so-called elite and wanting to rule the rest of us as slaves, more or less.
Sure.
And it's all this small group of people that have changed over the centuries have always been confronted with the same problem. How can you control the masses if you are the few and the people are the many? Because if you just say, go that way, people would laugh at you. So what they need is fear. It's only through fear that you can control the masses. So for all of these centuries, they have had to create a boogeyman, some outer threat, to be able to scare the living bejesus out of the population, so that they could say, for your protection, we have the solution and we will protect you. I mean, it's the same like the mob. They come to some owner of a restaurant and say, listen, you need to pay us money for protection. And the owner says, why? Because if you don't pay us, your restaurant will be, you know, destroyed. Mm-hmm. And he said, why? There's no threat. I've never had any threat or something like that. The very next day, his restaurants get burned down or something like that. And then the mob comes back and says, listen, do you want to pay now? And that's how they do it. An outer threat, and then people obey.
Oli, there's a line in a movie called Bronx Tale, and the mob boss is asked by one of his proteges, would you rather be loved or feared? And then, of course, he said, I'd rather be feared.
Yeah. The thing is, we are being played. It is a very, very simple play, and it's been working for such a long time because we are totally asleep, most of us, to what's going on. But once you start seeing how it's being played, you will just go, oh, my God, this is incredible. How brain dead have I been? I don't mean this disrespectful. At the same time, I also need to feel that we need to be shook, you know, to wake up, because this is times are moving forward fast. And the power structure behind the New World Order, they are moving all the time, and they want to push us into to a very, very dark and very scary and controlled area where life will not look the same as is now. So this is not a time to just sit and pick your belly button and order a new pizza. This is the time to wake up and say, whoa, hang on. before I buy into the official story of all of these things we're being served, let me take a step back. Let me look into it and also ask the question every single time you are being scared through media. Something is trying to scare you. Ask yourself, who benefits? Mm-hmm. Who benefits from me being terrified? Exactly. And what is the solution they are serving me? What is it they want out of this situation? So it's built on an old Roman template called problem, reaction, solution. The few in power secretly create a problem, some kind of boogeyman. Nowadays, it's in the shape of mass shootings or so-called terror attacks or viruses or financial breakdown or something like that. Something that would just scare you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because what they're looking for is the emotional reaction from us, the normal person. So emotional, so that we do not use the thing that God gave us between the ears, but we would go into reaction, just, oh my God, we're under attack. And then we will turn towards the people who we think are there to protect us, not understanding that it's actually them who have created the problem, saying, please, please, please save us. We're being attacked. We're being attacked. And then the people in power will say, well, the only way we can protect you is, and boom, there's the solution. And the solution every single time is that you, the normal person, have to pay in money and taxes. You will have to give up more and more your civil rights, your human rights. You will have to accept more and more surveillance, more and more militarized robocops, martial law, all of these things. More and more surveillance through the internet, all of these things due to an outer threat. But the outer threat is not real. It is the people in power that has created this boogeyman. So if we go into now, the boogeyman has changed shape over the years. You can often see through the James Bond movies, they will more or less show you what is the boogeyman of the trend, mm-hmm. That is current, the trend. In the 60s, it was Bulgarians, Polish, East Germans, and so on. Before that, it was Japanese, Chinese. And then it came into, I think, when the Cold War ended and the wall went down, the Berlin Wall went down, suddenly they couldn't use the Cold War boogeyman anymore. So they came to a point where how are we going to scare people? How are we going to be able to control them? So they tried with the outer space, the alien threat for a while, but that didn't really work out. And in on stage came the Muslim terrorist. That did not exist even before that, as far as I know. I'd never heard of a Muslim terrorist before that. And suddenly, it was every single day we were being served with fundamentalist Islamic extremists that was just... spending their whole days trying to put bombs together, figuring out new ways of attacking the Western world and blowing us to smithereens.
Islamofascism.
And when you go, I've been to like some 40-odd countries, many of the Muslim countries, and some of them are very different to the countries that I have lived in. But when you meet the person in the street, most of them are extremely kind, extremely generous, caring, beautiful people with different views of life than me, but that doesn't make them less of a person. On the contrary, we're sort of like a palette of colors, so we can learn from each other and experience things together. But this whole thing with the Muslim terrorist thing, you go there, I have not been able to find any of them. And then you start looking into were these organizations created? How is Al-Qaeda? Where did Al-Qaeda come from? Mm-hmm. Al-Qaeda is actually the CIA's name for their database of agents that they trained, they created. It is Al-Qaeda means database. It's not even a specific name for a database. It's just that name for their database.
Oli, I always call Al-Qaeda Al-C-I-A, duh.
Duh. That is so spot on. Duh. Exactly. And then they used that for a while. From when the war with the Russians in Afghanistan, that was where most of this started in this chapter of the so-called terrorist. And then they were trying, they used it, fake, lots of the news, absolute lies, but there as a boogeyman. Then it came to a point where you couldn't even scare babies with the name Al-Qaeda anymore. So what did they do? Overnight, they just upgraded to 3.0, ISIS. Mm-hmm. Where did ISIS come from? Absolute nowhere. And suddenly they were the biggest threat the world had ever seen. How did that happen? And then you see all of these beheadings and you see, oh God, it's the, you see the lighting doesn't match up and it's green screen filming. You never see any background footage you so that you can identify where they are. Some of the trucks have even got American plates on them and the company logos on the side. You know, they wherever you see an ISIS video or footage, if there is a vehicle in it, I bet you it's a Toyota.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Toyota. So we're looking at product placement even sponsored by Toyota.
Uh-huh.
And so to answer your question, I'm sorry that was a long answer, but you asked me about Gladio.
Yes.
Gladio is extremely important in this, and many people have not even heard of it. It was after the Second World War when NATO was created and the Western world was sort of, they divided Europe with the Russians and US, England, France, and so on. And they, after a while, they were starting to get fearful of the Russians. So in NATO, someone came up with the idea and together with CIA and NSA, NSC, how can we protect ourselves if an invasion takes place from the east at that time? So the idea came up with, why don't we create like a ghost army that normal people have no idea about? We make it consist of hundreds of small cells with 6 to 8 people in every cell, with buried down, dug down weapon depots, fuel depots, radio equipment, all of these things that are needed. We dig that down. Nobody knows the whole picture. Everybody's only aware of their little group, and then they will stay in radio contact with the other groups. But very few people will know the whole scenario. Very few people will know the layout and so on. So the whole idea was that if one of the NATO countries would be invaded, then the leaders of that country, the creme de la, whatever you call it, the royalties, the politicians, the bankers, all of these people would leave for London. And then from London, they would activate this guerrilla movement, this secret, invisible guerrilla movement that could be activated in one go. Boom. So that the whole army sort of would be in position, and the enemy would just be absolutely shocked and easily fought and pushed out of the country again. So in one way, I think it's an absolutely incredible idea. And I even believe my dad was part of the Danish version of the whole thing. Mm. Anyway, over the years, the threat from the East diminished. And then there was new meetings where especially the CIA and other NATO leaders and so on were sitting down thinking, what are we going to do? We got this massive army that goes under the international name Gladio. That's actually the Italian name of this. Other countries have other names. It's called Rear Guard, Stay Behind. Stay Behind is one of the most common names. What are we going to do with this? We got like thousands and thousands of very hardened warriors here, and they're doing no good at all. What can we do with them? And then somebody came up with the idea, the strategy of tension. Why don't we inflict fear on modern society so that we get people absolutely terrified, and thus making it so much easier for them to accept a more militarized control? And every time there is a government with lefty, with communist view or something like that, we just send these Gladio warriors in and wipe whatever, kill whatever or do whatever terror we need, mass murders, whatever. And nobody will even know that these people, mercenaries and so on, are taken from this network because nobody even knows about them. And this worked for many, many years. And I tell you, when I've been looking into so many so-called terror attacks here in Europe and in other countries and so on, and every single time I come back to the same network. They're blamed on other groups, for sure. But when you really dig into it, we come back to Gladio, Gladio, Gladio.
So the Gladio operation allegedly ended when the whistle was blown in Italy and all these different people came forward and documentation came out. But it sure doesn't seem like it ever ended, does it?
Nick, it's the same story again. They play us, you know. We're so gullible. They have invested so much in this, and they say there was a big scandal, I think it was 1990 or 91 in Italy, where it turned out that there were more than 10,000 people involved in the Gladio network in Italy alone, all the way up to the top of the top of the government and other places in the power structure. That set off like a whole series of scandals in many different NATO countries, including Sweden. That is a neutral country, officially not even member of NATO until this year or the year before. And this massive scandal erupted. So, of course, they said, my God, this is so horrible. And from now on, we promise we will not do anything. But of course, they just changed the name. Now it's called Gladio B, or they go under other names. You know, it's the same thing. They just move around. They lie low for a bit. We think, oh, thank God. Now that's sorted. And then as soon as we look the other way, boom, they just activated again.
From what I gather, it was Sybil Edmonds that coined the term Gladio B. Is that correct?
I don't know if it's her, but she's the one talking about Gladio B a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we're going to be hitting a break here in another minute. So we're going to start talking about a lot of these more recent events that resemble or mimic or use the template of Gladio. I know that you've done a really good job on a lot of the more recent events, especially the Bataclan incident over in Paris. So we're going to talk a lot about a lot of the French and German, and I know you've even exposed that the beheading over in England was a hoax as well. Don't remember that person's name. Oh, go ahead.
Nick, can I even say, I even predicted and stopped several of these just by exposing them before they even took place, because they're so predictable, many of these.
Yes.
So this is why I've done hundreds and hundreds of interviews exposing the template. How do they carry these things out? Because once you see how it's carried out, what the ingredients are, a normal person on the street will be able to expose them before. And this is the whole idea, to stop this madness.
And over here in America, we have several incidences as well. We even can go back to the 1993 WTC alleged bombing and that entrapment type of scenario that takes place as well. I don't know if you've looked into the Newburgh 4 FBI entrapment, where four people who were radicalized were entrapped by the FBI. So it seems like the FBI is also involved with setting a lot of these people up to make it seem as if they're actually fighting terror. I'm not sure if my brakes are actually set up. I would have normally have hit one by now, so I guess we can just keep going. So with the European... we're hitting a break now. Okay, we'll be back in a couple minutes.
The gods have blessed our soil and blood.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
We carry it on through drought and flood.
It was meant to be.
We built this land upon our graves.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
As fortune favors just the brave.
It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
Don't worry, child. Don't you fear at all. Don't worry, child. We will kill them all.
Greetings, Renegade listener. Have you been enjoying the show? Well, then why don't you share it with your friends and family? Click on the show page and then find the social media links right under the description. Or send out a message to an email list. Get the word out however you can. Don't be afraid of letting other people know that you listen to Renegade Broadcasting. You'd be surprised how many of them agree with what we're saying here. With your help, we'll be destroying the mass media's narrative in no time at all. Let's wake up the world, one share at a time.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Circus Maximus on the Renegade Broadcasting Network. And today I have Oli Demigard from LightOnConspiracies.com. That is LightOnConspiracies.com. Oli, welcome back. And we were getting ready to start talking about some of these Gladio events and a lot of the ones that you've actually prevented. So I'd like you to take the stage and start going ahead and talking about these different events that you've uncovered and dissected.
When I can only say I'm just an ordinary guy who just came to a point many years ago where I felt something needs to be done. There's a lot of madness going on here, and normal people don't even see it. It's taking place right in front of our very eyes, and it's affecting our lives in so many different areas that it would just blow most people's mind if they really came to the understanding of what was going on. So since nobody else seemed to be doing it, I felt I just have to do it. And this has taken me down, like I said, a 30-year-long road into very dark areas. And in these areas, I come back to the same situation again and again, how the power elite are controlling us and what the tools are. Because they got very, very few tools, I would suggest, to control us. And the ones they use is divide and conquer. They try to make us enemies with each other, within races, religions, whatever. They're trying to do everything for us to point at each other instead of turning towards them and saying, holy macaroni, are you the ones doing it? They're all the time, they are sort of hiding in the dark, in dark corners, in closed offices, behind dark veils of secrecy. That's where the whole thing is happening, and they want us to blame each other.
NGOs, think tanks, army war colleges.
There's so many of them. They use this
concept of game theory. I don't know if you've looked into game theory, but it was invented by a Mossad intelligence agent. So that's kind of what's being utilized today, this Mossad model. Utilizing the Gladio with this game theory. So with the ways of recognizing a lot of these different events, there's tools that you could probably reveal to us. I know that when the media makes a huge stink or they expose or they continuously talk about these events, when it's something that happens every day in Chicago, for example, where I'm from, when the media makes it stink about an incident where maybe one or two people are being killed and it's just getting overblown, then sometimes you got to wonder, well, is this real or is this staged? Are there crisis actors involved? There's a lot of different factors, but I'm going to let you go ahead.
It's it's all the time you have to ask yourself, why is this being pushed down my throat? Just like you say, if there's a big emphasis on it in the news, for instance, like that, it is very often due to the ownership of media nowadays. I mean, in the US, I think you got 6 owners of the whole main media, mm-hmm. 6 in total. And these 6 works together as well. So it's like what you see on the black box in front of you is not sort of, it is very directed information. And very, very, very many times you can even see that they're using the same prompter. The same text on the prompters, doesn't matter which channel you change to, they will say the identical things, the different news studios. So nowadays, at this point in history where so much power has been focused on fewer and fewer and fewer companies, fewer and fewer and fewer people, the deciding group behind what we are being served is very, very small. So we have to be very, very selective with what information we take in, or at least be extremely critical. Because I haven't watched normal news for the last 12 years, I think, because it just came to a point when the understanding of what's going on, just like then it becomes like a joke when you look at the normal news. Because for instance, now with all of these false flag operations and terror, so-called terror acts, alleged terror acts and so on, when I look at the news nowadays, so much of the news is built on lies. Mm-hmm. They refer to other operations that were lies, fake events or staged events or false flag operations, black ops and so on, as truth. And then they build on it with, well, this thing that happened today was due to whatever the other event was. And when you look into the event that just happened, that turns out that was not true either. Then the next thing that is on top of that and on top of that and on top of that, it's like a pancake of lies. And so, like I said, divide and conquer, then you have problem, reaction, solution, the one I described before. And in the States, you have mass shootings. Mass shootings do not occur more or less any other country, only because that in the States is where the population is armed, and this is where the people in power, they fear the arms. They just want you to give them up, bend over, and so they can more easily take over. So I'm totally pro peace, nonviolence. At the same time, I say do not give up your guns, because this is what every dictator through the history of the world have been trying to get the population to do. Just give up your arms, and then they can go in, plunder and rape as they want.
Exactly.
So this is why in the mass shootings are in the States. And then why is it not that with all of these crazy people running around shooting, doing mass shootings, why is the emphasis not on mental health care? Or how to deal with these people that are apparently very sick mentally. No, no, no. The whole focus is saying it's the weapons. It is the weapon. It's the gun that is the problem. We need to confiscate the gun. We need you need to hand over the guns to us. That's the solution.
Oli, you did a show on Veritas Radio. It was very good, by the way, and I think in your bio you stated that that was one of your most important shows that you ever put out. You stated that there's always this tendency to have a lone gunman because it can only pin the incident onto one person rather than creating a conspiracy by having multiple people. But you also find a lot of incidences where they're first reporting multiple shooters and then it ends up being just the one lone nut, usually a known person that the federal agents have already been looking at. Can you talk a little bit about that concept, plus like the Sandy Hook and the Dallas situation, the Dallas police shooting? I'm sure you looked into that as well. So these multiple shooters that end up turning out to be just a lone gunman.
The person they blame it on, these operations are always carried out by professionals. They have, if it's a real hit, if it's a real assassination, there would be multiple shooters. There would be triangular fire. There would be backup. There would be several different getaway cars. There would be option 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with the local police and the local authorities involved, with key people, with the whole investigation on standby, with people that the same people as behind the assassination is controlling, so that the investigation will only move in and protect what actually happened from people like myself, and just point in all different directions, saying they went that way, they went that way, pointing towards the official story. And the official story is more or less always blamed on a lone patsy, a lone deranged individual, or an extremist. And the reason, just like you say, the reason why they want him alone is then by law there's no conspiracy. And then if, especially if that person dies, then boom, thank you, case closed, thank you and goodbye, go home folks, and don't worry about a thing. But, and the reason they want him crazy is because then there's no motive. There's no need for a motive. You do not need to look into why did this thing, whole thing happen. But when you come to these places and really start looking at the evidence, it will show you a totally different story. And this is why many times the story of multiple shooters is because there were multiple shooters. But then the one they're blaming it on is a lone crazy guy.
So especially the Orlando situation that happened not too long ago.
It's when you look at the I think after 9/11 these false flag operations took a whole new level. By the way, a false flag operation is an old naval term from the old days when, for instance, a naval nation like Spain or Holland or England or some wanted to go around in the world and just rape, plunder. If they attacked a small little innocent country, that could sometimes cause problems with trade agreements and relationship with neighboring countries and so on. So what they did very often was, instead of just attacking, what they did, they put the enemy's flag on one of their own ships and then let that ship attack them. And meaning that suddenly they were the victim for the attack. And then, oh my God, we need to attack, we need to defend ourselves. And then boom, they went in. Invasion, rape, and plunder, and even becoming the heroes. So this is has been a tactic. The pirates, they got the hook of it as well, or the feeling for it. So they started putting the same flag as the victim, making it possible for them to get really, really close before the attack took place. And the ones that were attacked didn't even know what happened. They thought it was a friend that got close here. So that is where this false flag operation comes from. It is it's a psyop, how to play the enemy, how to get close or to divert the attention away from what actually happened.
And it also seems like 9/11 would have been a big incident, huge with the false flag, where there's a lot of blame, you know, towards the 19 hijackers, a lot of them from Saudi Arabia, but a lot of people are deflected or misdirected from the Israeli Mossad angle that completely is been covered up as well from a lot of the truth tellers, and especially a lot of the Christian Zionists here in America that would never want to blame Israel for anything involved with American attacks.
I tell you, if the more you look into Israel, the more the hair on your head will just stand up. It's incredible, the presence when it comes to so-called terror attacks and atrocities. I'm just pointing at the signs that I find, and the people involved. I don't care if you're blue or black or green or white, Muslim, Hindu, Christian or Sikh, whatever. I look for who did it, who carried it out, who was on the street level, who gave the orders, where did the money come, the financing. But the thing is, we come back to the same. And here's where Mossad is extremely central, the CIA extremely central, many times the MI6. And then depending on in what country these operations are carried out, you will have that country involved as well. And I'm a friend of Chip Tatum, who is a CIA whistleblower. He was a deep cover agent for 25 years. He was one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra scandal, flying one of these big C-130s with weapons out and drugs into to the States, being part of creating this whole crack epidemy where Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. were personally there to receive many of these tons of drugs and distributing them all over the country. He was also a black pilot for these black helicopters, the Night Stalker pilots. He was also the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team Pegasus, an ultra-secret team that carried out at least 14 assassinations in Western Europe. Wow. And he then, in 92, became a whistleblower and after being in prison for some years, now he's devoting his life as a whistleblower trying to expose what is going on. And he also took part of many of these false flag operations in his earlier years. But according to him, and I would say many people as well, researchers, up until 9/11, which was a super inside job, this whole thing, the people that are being blamed for this small group of people, absolute total lie, total lie. All of that were part of staging starting the war on terror, this war that can go on forever and ever because there is no enemy. It's an invisible, imaginary enemy that can be recreated on a daily basis. Whatever country you want to attack, you just use that as a bad excuse. Anyway, but after 9/11, it came to a point, I think, where they were starting to have a major problem with especially mothers and relatives to the dead victims, because especially mothers to a dead child, even if that child is 75 or 58 or whatever, you know, a mother will not back down until she finds out what happened to her child. And so there were all of these parents and mothers breathing down the neck of people that were behind these operations. So I believe that it came to a point around the Boston Marathon bombing where a whole new way of carrying these operations out were invented. And in on stage came the so-called crisis actor. These are operations that are staged for the media, not for something that actually happens. It's only there to create the whole imaginary image of absolute pure terror that is happening in your country. And so what they started using was small control groups of often very bad actors, because they couldn't use the good actors because they were already known on TV and film screens and so on. So, but very bad actors and also crisis actors. They were lying in the street, bleeding. These were often amputees or people missing limbs and so on. They could lie and see, looking like they had been hurt or shot and so on.
Yeah, you see that quite a bit for the Boston bombing, the crisis actors. You see that for potentially even Sandy Hook. I know that you were involved with the production of Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Can you talk a little bit about that?
For sure. It's a Sandy Hook. When you first look at it, oh my God, horrific. I mean, if what we're being told happened, if that really happened, that is awful. When you look into it, it is so badly carried out. I mean, it is, you cannot, if you are any kind of serious researchers, you cannot help laughing when you start looking into it. It is so badly carried out, just like I said. And I've been involved with Professor Jim Fetzer in a series of books where he has invited like 12 or 13 super researchers in different areas for each different part of these of this book series. The first book is called And I Suppose Nobody Landed on the Moon. Let me just check the title here. No, And I Suppose We Didn't Go to the Moon Either. The first one is about the moon hoax, about the two Saddam Hussein, there was a double involved where you got lots and lots of interviews with people involved in these things. You got many of the people that have written chapters in these books are PhDs and research and scientists. I mean, these are heavyweight researchers. Then in the second book, it's about Sandy Hook. It's called And Nobody Died in Sandy Hook. The third one is called And Nobody Died in Boston Either. And the fourth book that we are just in the process of printing now is called American Nuked on 9/11. And the fifth book, which is in, we're working hard on now, is on the Orlando thing, Orlando and Dallas. And these books are almost like 475 pages with loads and loads and loads of evidence just totally debunking the official stories.
That's,
when you, go ahead. If you take Sandy Hook, for instance, mm-hmm. when you look into it, you can just go to FBI's own website. You go to Newtown, where Sandy Hook is under, and you look, check out the number of homicides 2012. It will say zero because there was nobody killed there. The whole, I can spend the next hour just going into details. I would very much recommend this book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which was actually stopped and banned by Amazon. The whole thing was, we used the Create Space, which is Amazon's old printing service up until that book. And then when this book came out, Amazon just shut it down and refused to print more X. So what Fetzan and his friends came up with, they said, let's give it out for free instead. So I thought that was excellent. So we pumped out a copy. You can find it on my website still, lightonconspiracies.com. You will sign, can go down there. It will say Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, a free PDF file. And then after this was being pumped out in the thousands, they found a new printer, a publisher, Moonrock Books, that is now giving out a new version. So we updated that version and got even more in it, and that is the version you can now buy. But the thing, when you look into these things, there's so many things that doesn't match up. It's not just a few; it's in the thousands that does not match up with the official story.
So many red flags for most of all these incidences. There's red flags no matter what direction you look in. There's a red flag. Just the witnesses, the victims, the story itself from the media, the agencies, the police departments, all the above. It's just ridiculous. And with Sandy Hook, it actually created a huge divide with a lot of researchers where, how dare you say that none of these children died? And then there's also, like you said, the Jim Fetzers of the world that have taken a lot of heat for uncovering this conspiracy. So a lot of people believed, oh, yes, the Boston bombing, yes, hoax. But how dare you say that nobody died at Sandy Hook?
But this is the thing. It's awful to say things like nobody died, you know, because it's like, it's horrendous. It's outrageous. How dare anyone say that? But when you really look at the facts, what can you say? It's like, what can you say? It's the same with the Bataclan shooting and so many other places. I've been traveling around to many of these countries on my own with an undercover cameraman. We've been going to these places. We've been to the Bataclan. We've been to Charlie Hebdo. We've been to the Copenhagen shooting. We've been to the Madrid bombings. We've been to the so-called beheading of Lee Rigby in Woolwich, London. We've been at the 7/7 bombings. We've been at the mass shootings in Norway. We've been at the government building that was blown up in Norway. We've been in Gothenburg, where there was, and so on and so on, where I have been on location with a camera guy. We've been walking the exact steps of the people carrying these things out. You know, where the police officer is said to have been shot in Paris, the Charlie Hebdo. I've been rolling around on the exact same pavement. I've been lying there. I've been tracking down the police officer. He, by the way, he's not a police officer. He's a Mossad agent. Mm-hmm. He's doing fine. He lives in Buenos Aires. He was paid $666,000 for his part of the operation, and he's not allowed to come back to France for another 5 years. A little plastic operation, and he will be back in operation like before. But when you come to these places, and like you see there's like this thing has happened, oh my God, it looks awful, there's all these victims and horror in the news and so on. And then you go on location, you start, I've been to cemeteries trying to find where are the graves, where are the families, where are the paper trails, where are the birth certificates, where are the death certificates, where are this, where's that, where's that. Many, many of these people, these victims, are phantom identities. I kid you not. They do not exist. And many of them are used in more than one operation.
Yeah, like that Mason Wells character, that Mormon that was involved with, I think he was even at Bataclan and the Boston bombing and one other incident. He was
at the Brussels airport as well. But yes. that is one thing. He was sort of like a witness or a victim, wounded.
Yes.
But you got like Noah Posner, he was a 6-year-old boy that is said to have been killed at Sandy Hook. Uh-huh. Okay. And then, more or less exactly 2 years on the date in 2014, he was killed again in Peshawar in Pakistan. His photo is among the exact same photo is among the photos of the victim of this claimed terror attack in Peshawar, which did not happen either.
Yeah, there's another guy that mainstream media just covered about a month ago. Why does this guy keep coming up when... How is this guy dead 3 different times? And I forget this guy's.
But this is the thing. The same doctors, the same police officer suddenly appears in 3 different states, even wearing the same hat. I mean, come on. Have some imagination, you know. No, but it's almost like they're teasing us, you know, putting it right in our face. And they even leave like trailers of upcoming events in the evidence.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that on the other side. We're going to be hitting a break. I know that you did that with the Bataclan. You uncovered the trail for the Bataclan, and I think you even covered the one for Nice as well, where there's
a
trail.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower as well.
So here we are. We're hitting a break, and we will be back in a few more minutes.
The turn of the day, when all music fools come out to play, until the drunk turn of night. So many stories to hear, so many cheeks to greet, and beautiful faces.
Hi, my name's Shield Maiden. I'd like to talk to you about a serious problem plaguing the world today. It was something that I suffered from for years. I used to fantasize about shoving Jews back in the oven. I had dreams of creating lampshades, and for months I fought the urge to surround every Jewish name I saw with parentheses. But thanks to Anti-Semitox, I am now a happy little Goyim slave again. Anti-Semitox helped me realize that Jews really are the chosen ones, and not the money-hungry evil parasites I thought they were. Stop being a free thinker and become another sheeple. Try Anti-Semitox today. Their white genocide agenda depends on it.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember, when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns. to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again, how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid.
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Renegade Broadcasting, Circus Maximus, and I have Ole Demigard on the show with me for the final hour. We discussed so many different topics already, and we're going to start breaking down some of these different false flag hoax Operation Gladio events that we've been building up to for the first hour. And Ole Demigard, check out his website, Light on Conspiracies. There's a wealth of information, books. He's an artist. He's a musician. So all around, built up guy with so much different artistic abilities, very powerful mind, and I am very honored to have you on my show, Ole. Let's break down some of these events. You just sent me a picture, and what is this picture? It was hard for me to open that up. Can you discuss that?
No, I just wanted to. Before the break, we were talking about that the powers behind these operations. It's almost like they're teasing with us, you know, just like a serial killer is teasing with his victim. Or for some weird reason, they leave like clues in the evidence around these things for the next place they're going to hit. And I became aware of this in the early 2015, where I started seeing very clear signs of that a possible attack would take place in Denmark. And there was a series it was like a postcard with four images on it, where it said Israel now, Dublin next, and there was a statue in Dublin, and with a stamp over it. Then there was the next one was Israel now, Paris next, where the Mona Lisa was standing with holding a big bomb. Then there was an image of where it said Israel now, Denmark next, where there was the little mermaid of Denmark, the symbol of Denmark, also with a big bazooka or something like that. And then there was the statue of David in Florence, Italy, where it says Israel now, Italy next. And first, this was circulating in media on Twitter for no apparent reason, and it was sent to me with inside info saying, please, please be aware of this. This is the next four operations. I didn't take it serious to start with, but then I heard of a so-called ISIS attack at the Intel plant outside Dublin. That failed, but it was blamed on ISIS. Then just a few weeks later, boom, Charlie Hebdo happened. So that was two out of four, and I thought, whoa, is this possible? So since a drill is extremely central for these false flag operations to be able to be carried out, I looked very much into a possible drill in Copenhagen, because if what I've been informed was right, because it was not only from one source, it came from multiple sources that this was the case. So I went out publicly on international radio, Kevin Barrett show and other shows, and said, please, if there is a drill in central Copenhagen, please send me the info and be aware that something could be possibly happening in Copenhagen. I did not at that time think that we would actually find one, but it just took an hour or so before somebody sent me a photo from Copenhagen with a poster in where it says, tonight at the Nørrebro train station, we're going to have a military drill for your protection. Please stay away, and so on. So the guy who sent it to me asked, is this something like this? And I said, yes, yes, exactly. So I pumped this image out saying, please, anyone near this place, go there with your friends and family and so on with cameras and start filming when they set this whole thing up, because it will look like a, more or less like a film set if it is one of these staged events. I just want to say the drill is extremely essential for the people behind this operation, because it's through the drill that they can get their vehicles in position without us interfering. They can close off streets. They can get explosives in position, the patsy in position, all the crisis actors, lighting, whatever they need in position without any interfering the normal person. That is why they need to go out and on radio and in on newspapers make advertisements about this upcoming drill, which is perfect for someone like myself, because that is a possible way of predicting where it's going to happen. Anyway, we went out big time, said this could be the next one in Copenhagen around this exact train station and so on. It did not happen that day. It happened exactly 1 month later on the hour at very, very close to that exact train station as well. Anyway, then we went big time out and said that this is 3 out of 4 possibly. So the next one would then be in Florence. So we pumped out about Florence. Please be aware. Please be aware. There were also signs of a drill, an upcoming drill there, but nothing happened. And I believe possibly nothing happened because of this exposure. Anyway, so, in the evidence of these thing, often, like I say, they leave small signs. It's almost like a Dan Brown novel where they put these teasers out there. And I've been informed by people on the inside that the reason they do this is because in their interpretation of the law of karma, if they inform their victim what will happen and the victim do not react, then the bad karma is on the victim's shoulder, not the attacker's.
It's just so like the Hollywood movies as well. They do the same thing, the universal law of karma with this, where you even have this Mossad agent who's also a film producer involved with the different movies that Fight Club and other movies like that, where he even had a different movie where the guy was able to control a plane into a building. I forget that name of that movie. Do you know who I'm talking about? Where he's been involved in a lot of these type of PSYOP movies and also involved with the Israeli Mossad as well.
No, I don't know that movie. But I spoke to Chip Tatum about it, this CIA assassin, and I explained this thing, and he said he never heard of it, but he said it makes perfect sense, because every single time he was given an assignment to take someone out, he and his group had to confront that victim first verbally, giving him a chance to, as Chip, the way he said it was, to conform. And if he did not conform, then there was a green light, they could take him out. But Chip said he was very, very uncomfortable having to put his group at risk by confronting this thing. He said, I was a soldier. If you want that person dead, just give me the order. I'll kill the person. But having to do it like this put the whole operation at risk. But he says, now when you say this thing about the law of karma, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, the guy's name is Arnon Milkan, Hollywood producer. that put out those movies that I was referring to, Fight Club and L.A. Confidential. JFK, he also produced as well. He's an Israeli Mossad arms dealer and whatnot. So it's pretty interesting that this guy's involved with Hollywood. And it's also been known that the Pentagon and CIA has had their own representatives in CNN and other different media agencies as well that are kind of like directing and controlling the narrative of what happens on the media. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's big time like that. It's big time like that. I mean, I've got a list of CIA operatives in media, and we're talking like in the hundreds. They're incredible amount. But this is the thing, the power structure behind the New World Order have been working for so many years to centralize the power to fewer and fewer and fewer. And of course, they targeted these areas that affect us the most, like the music business, film business, media. These are some of the main ones where they can get to us and get into our subconscious and so on through films, through music, and so on. So nothing under the sun.
Oli, anyway. Oli, can you break down the Bataclan? Because recently in mainstream media, I'm not sure who broke the story originally, but my research has found that Alex Jones, InfoWars, broke the story that at the Bataclan there were torture, disembowelment, and a lot of other things that occurred that they promoted almost a year later that wasn't something that I believe actually happened. And a lot of other researchers like Kevin Barrett believe it's disinformation about this torture that took place at the Bataclan.
Absolute total nonsense. Absolute. And I hate to say it, but Alex Jones and InfoWars has taken a very, very odd route, to say the least, the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And now I don't trust anything more or less that is being pumped out that way. This is the sad thing in these times where control opposition is, in the beginning, you really believe them because so much of what is being brought out is true. But then the more followers and the more people hang on to them and start believing, then that's when they start showing their real agenda and starts taking off in a totally different direction. And I think 2016 is such a sad year because it's like pulling the veil to the side and people and programs and radio shows and so on are suddenly showing their real face. And it's shocking to see sometimes. I've had some very, very, I wouldn't call them traumatic, but very, very sad experiences this year where it has just, things I believed in has just turned out to be absolute fake. Mm-hmm. And InfoWars, one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, but this is it. It's not only them, there are many others as well. So this is the year when things are dividing the light or the dark. Which side are you on? And it's almost like a spiritual war that is going on. Mm-hmm. As well.
And an info war.
And an info war. So I would say about disembowelment, absolute bollocks, to put it bluntly, because I have not been able to find any real victims there either. This is the whole thing. When you really get into it, it is a big charade aimed at pumping fear out. It's fear porn that is being pumped out there. And I've done many, many interviews, 2-hour interviews, where we broke down the whole November the 13th claimed massacre. All the different areas in Paris, the different targets, the different restaurants. I've been to each and every single one of them. I've been to the Bataclan. I've been all of these places. Nothing happened. I know it sounds totally outrageous, but there was a drill the very same morning, during the night before this happened. The whole thing was staged and planned and carried out. And many of these images and photos that are being pumped out was taken there during the drill, not at the real event. And then when the real event is said to have taken place, you just have a lot of crisis actors running around. Many of them. I mean, when you look at the SWAT teams, if you really go into detail, you will see that some people in the SWAT teams are like middle-aged women, and you got like firefighters that are teenage girls, and so it's just bizarre when you start looking. When you study the images in great detail, you will find out that it's just, I don't know why they make it. Either it's super sloppy, or it's just there to do this thing with a karma. Or I don't understand it, why they don't do it properly, but this is what we see. It's getting more and more obvious when you look into these operations.
With the Paris Bataclan, you pointed out with the heart shape that the bodies were laid in. What did that reveal to you?
No, but it was not a heart shape that the bodies were laid out. For one thing, if you really study that photo, there's only one photo from inside the Bataclan. It is said that there was some 80 victims inside there, but you only see 25. And when you study them in great detail, you will see that these are not even real bodies. They are what is called Kappa cadavers thing. These type of wax dummies, more or less, used in films. And so on. You can see the angles of the hips, the way that the legs are bent, and so on. That this is absolutely totally impossible. Even if you're being blown to pieces by Kalashnikovs, you would never get these type of wounds or possibilities to bend the limbs the way they are.
Same with the Nice attacks as well. You see the same bending of the bodies.
It is the same. There is no difference. I tell you, I have a very, very strong theory I'm trying to prove, where I would suggest that what we're watching is like a rock band and like a Rocky Horror show on global tour. The same small group of military advisors, public relationships, marketing agencies that come up with logos and jingles, more or less. You got crisis actors, you got experts on explosives, you got directors, you got the film crew, you got lighting, and so on. A small group are like maybe somewhere between 30 and 50 people, I would say, that are being transported from country to country in NATO planes or army planes, from NATO bases or army bases, flown in, then taken by bus to location where there's a drill so that they can rehearse the exact same theme as in all the other places. Then it's carried out in front of cameras, and then boom, they're taken away. In these buses, you will see every single of these events, the victims or the wounded are not taken away, most of the time are not put into ambulances. They're put into buses, and then they're driven back to the exact same planes and transported to the next.
This film crew that you're describing sounds just like Site Intelligence Group with Rita Katz.
It is a small... I've spoken to Chip about this as well. He's taken part of False Flags, and he said it's not only possible, it's plausible. You know, he really thinks that this is what is going on as well. And you will see, if you look at all of these things, from the Sydney siege, you also have these names they always come up with, and the logos and these things.
Orlando Strong. Charlie Hebdo. Yeah, Orlando Strong or whatever it is, or Orlando.
Yeah, it's
United.
Always, yeah, Not Afraid was Copenhagen and so on. But you look at the Ottawa, you look at the Sydney thing, you look at this, all of these ones in France, you look in England, you look in Denmark, you look in Belgium, you look, all of them, it is the same ingredients every single time. You have somebody running around screaming Allah Akbar, a Muslim terrorist. There's always blurred images. You can never get a sharp images of either the assassin nor the victims. Blurred videos. I mean, they're so unsharp. You need to have some special app to mess it up like that. And then you have very, very sophisticated, high quality professional photos afterwards, taking of so-called victims, but very emotionally, you know, like there's a doll next to a victim or there's a dead child or something. It's always women and children. This is the thing that gets the emotions going.
Oh, absolutely. The Nice attack actually had the doll with the girl. We don't even know if it was a girl, but they told us it was, with that silver blanket, that body blanket over her with the little doll next to her. Kind of reminds us of that Syrian refugee child that was seemed to have been staged on the beach as well.
It is the same. And then if you look at the proportions of this little girl with a doll next to it, it was a grown-up adult. You know, it doesn't match up as so many other things. It's the same also. You got all of these victims that are being so-called shot or dead. And then where are the ambulances? And if there are ambulances, then instead the people are being carried into buses and transported to the hospital, and not even to the hospital. Often it's a separate office or somewhere where they take these people. And it is...
Orlando was notorious for that, for the no ambulances and the victims carrying each other. And it was just ridiculously obvious. Same with Sandy Hook, where you didn't have any sort of intervention with ambulances or whatnot. And we never got to see any photos of any of the victims as well. So did anybody die at Sandy Hook? It sure doesn't seem like it. With the Nice and Munich attacks, we see some key players involved with the Richard Guttar, Enat Wolf, and as well as Richard Guttar's daughter was tweeting during the Munich mall attack. Have you looked into the Richard Guttar connection?
Yeah, I think I was the one exposing it.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, and this is the thing where you see, like, for instance, at the Charlie Hebdo shooting, this famous one where the police officer is said to have been killed by these two so-called terrorists, where the car that the terrorist was using was a Citroën C3 from 2014, but the car that was then abandoned was a Citroën C3 from 2013, not even the same year model, not the same side mirrors, not the same extra light in the front, these type of things. The guy that was very was so lucky to be on a balcony filming this whole thing, he was one of the chief editors for one of the main TV channels in Israel, okay? So here we have, just by coincidence, in France. Then you have this thing that happened in Nice. And when you look at the balcony where you see that somebody's standing on a balcony filming, and you see this truck coming slowly, and then suddenly it starts accelerating. Mm-hmm. If you look down into the left corner of that footage, you will see there's a lit up W on the outside of this balcony. That is the W of the Westminster Hotel, the lit up letters of the Westminster Hotel. He's on the first floor on the balcony there filming. His name, just like you say, Richard Guttar. Okay, so he's filming there. Then you have the whole shootout where they say that the police had this shootout with a driver, killed him, and so on. But this was after 1.2 miles where he was driving, killing all of these people officially. Mm-hmm. Okay. It said, when you look at the timeline, it's like somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes it took him to drive 1.2 mile along this beach promenade. I mean, doesn't make sense at all. Then you see where the shootout is. It's outside the one of the biggest casinos in Nice, the Hotel Hyatt Regal. And that one is just 215 meters, that is, I think, more or less the same in yards, from the Westminster Hotel, where the attack started. So the attack did not take 1.2 mile, it was 215 yards. And the shootout, you know, the timing of the whole thing, you see the police running around shooting towards this truck. There's not a single drop of blood on the truck, by the way, even though it's said to have killed or wounded 286 people. That is a lot of people. Yes. That have been either massacred or wounded by this car. Nothing.
Some of the photos did show, or video footage later on after the fact showed, like some blood around the bodies that were laying on the ground, but there was no blood trails. It was just like perfectly placed at each body, if there was any blood shown at all. So there was also the hood of the truck removed completely, which was odd.
The whole thing does not match up at all. Do you know, also, these trucks, it's a 19-tonner, are not allowed in any center of European cities nowadays, more or less, and not in Nice. So, and it was said, it was observed there for 9 hours before it happened, and the police said, well, they even approached the driver and said, you're not allowed to be here. He said, well, I'm selling ice cream. So the police said, okay, in that case, you're okay. I mean, what is that? And then you have, where's all the CCTV footage? Where this is standard in these operations. They spend billions installing them, for tax money, millions and millions. And then suddenly, when it's needed the most, boom, they stop working. Or it's confiscated.
Yes.
Nice has, it's the city in France with the most CCTV cameras. They have 915 units. And this, where the shootout, it was right outside one of the biggest casinos in Nice. You know, this is a big casino. And no footage at all.
Both with Nice and Munich, there are photos of these military or police officers, SWAT, whatever you want to call them, in France. A lot of them are wearing shorts. That would not normally be standard attire for these type of operations. They're wearing shorts at their knees.
And why, you tell me, why are they wearing masks? Why are they wearing balaclavas? They are there to protect us. It's their duty to put their life on the line. Why are they not showing their face? Because it's the same group that is being transported from country to country. These shorts I also exposed and compared them. And then people said, yeah, but they have different weapons, so it can't be the same people. Well, it's the same skinny legs. And also, when you transport these groups, you don't bring the guns. This will be the logistics will be taken care of the host country, you know, so you don't have to transport weapons across borders or possibly mess things up, you know. So this is, they're just being supplied weapons, and very often these weapons are not real. It's for film sets, you know. I've been an extra on many film sets, and these guns are most of them made of rubber. So there, you can see that also at the Istanbul attack, where that came right after. If you haven't noticed, they're coming on a very, very rampant speed, like boom, 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 mm-hmm. almost scare of the day now.
Mm-hmm. Over at the, airport over there in Istanbul, right?
Yeah. I interviewed a guy who was there, and he said he was asleep in the departure hall. And then he heard this sound, beep, 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 and somebody came, or they said in the loudspeakers, excuse me, would you mind, please, we need to evacuate the building, if everybody could please leave. And so he said, okay, fine, maybe there's a fire drill. He started walking out. He asked some security guard, what's going on? And the security guard, very calm, just said, nothing special, just please, if you wouldn't mind, leave. And then on the way out, suddenly they heard, boom, an explosion, which is totally the wrong reverse timeline. Mm. You know, the first was the explosion, then was the evacuation. No, no, no. Then you had, there was this Germany's first mass shooting, just came right after. My God, what a massacre. First, you need to follow these things very, very on the spot when it happens, because as soon as it's happened, they start deleting their tracks or covering up their tracks. So the very first news was from this thing in Germany.
Hey, we're hitting a break. Let's continue that on the other side. We have one more half hour to go.
Renegade. I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Welcome back, everybody, for the final half hour of Circus Maximus with Oli Damigard today as our guest. And Oli, you were getting into a mass shooting over in Germany. Let's continue.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the München disaster. I'm talking about there was a mass shooting at a cinema before that. Mm-hmm. And the very first news reports were that there were 25 dead and 52 wounded. That is quite a lot of dead people, okay? Then that changed after a while. After a few hours, the shock was just sent out all over the world. Oh my God, another one, another one, another one. So suddenly it changed to no, sorry, no 25 dead. In the end, it was only the gunman that committed suicide very conveniently. So of course he was a lone crazy guy. So he committed suicide or blew himself up or was killed by the police, depending on what you want to, which report you want to hear. So from 25 down to one dead and 52 wounded. And then a couple of days later, Reuters said, actually, there was no wounded either. Our mistake. Mm. So what are we looking at? Absolute zero, just fear porn being pumped out. And this is how they do it.
And that's what people end up remembering, the initial reports, and then they never really end up looking at the updated information. And what's locked in their minds is the fear porn, the original stories.
I mean, you need to be a geek like myself that is devoting my life trying to expose these things to put so much time into it. Otherwise, you wouldn't notice. And that is what they are totally aware of. So they can do whatever they want. And it's just like, terror, 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 terror. That's the game. You know, being up like up against Mike Tyson and just do, 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 so that you can't focus. And this is why, I mean, it's not that many. It was in March, the 22nd of March, when the Brussels airport bombing.
3-2-2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how many people can even remember it? Because there's so much that has happened since then.
Isn't that the eve of the Feast of Isis? Isn't that the historical term for 323, I think, is the eve of Isis?
There are many, many different things around this. And this 3-2-2.
Skull and bones, of course.
Skull and bones. But also they hit very often on very specific dates, there are specific dates, days, the timing sometimes. They love these number combinations, 9-11, 7-11, 7-7, 3-2.
That was also around the vernal equinox as well, you know, fertilization ritual.
I asked Chip about this thing, and he said when it comes to assassinations, he has never heard of these things. He's never been aware of any of that. And he also says, when you have a target, you can never sort of decide a specific time if it's not a bomb or something like that. Maybe a sniper, because you never know what the victim will do. Maybe he takes a left instead of a right and so on. So, but when it comes to bombs and things that are timed, then you can exactly put the timing to whatever you want. And this is where we very often see that explosions go off at 9/11 on that day, or 666, 3377, 7/11. These numbers keep repeating, and the numbers of victims, 77, mm-hmm. and so on. It's just over and over and over.
Yeah, numerology and the alignment of the stars and constellations definitely play a role. I would also wanted to talk about what happened in Normandy with the priest slicing of the neck. Some people have even called it a beheading as well. It seems as if I even saw some of those people, the officers, the SWAT actors, with their faces blurred out in a lot of the photos as well. Le Pen came out, and Marine Le Pen joined the National Guard and is riling up the people and saying we need to rise up and have a pretty much a Christian crusade against Islam, it seems.
It is so boring. I mean, when you look at the template, the things that they need to hit to get the emotions going are children, women, nurses, nuns, and priests or missionaries. These are the things to get the emotion. It doesn't work if you blow up a few old guys or things like that. No, no, no. Daycare center, hospitals, depending on what kind of effect you want. And this is often when you also see the so-called victims, when if it's a child, that child will hold a drawing saying, please don't hurt us, or we're cute, we shouldn't be hit or something. Do you know, like, it's propaganda. You have to look upon these things as from a point of propaganda, how to impact, get the maximum impact. So here there was a priest. My God, I'm shocked. A priest, did they really do that? I think not. And what can I say? The thing also, what they count on is that we will not spend time really looking into the details, because they hit you with another one. So that you, wait a second, it was over there. No, it's over there. And then who even remembers this priest now? So nobody will go there and check out, other than people like myself.
And allegedly this priest was just filling in for some other priest that was on vacation at the time.
Yeah, I'm very sure. And that priest, if you start checking him out, did he even exist? Yeah. Question number one. Was it a phantom identity, or was he some kind of an operative? Was he some kind of an actor, crisis actor called in? Did it even happen? Are there any photos from the crime scene? Does the evidence match up? Where is it? Who is taking care of the investigation? Are they Freemasons? Are the judge a Freemason? Are the lawyers a Freemason? Connected all of these things? Did the person that carried it out die, or is he still alive?
Plus,
is it possible to interview him? Is it possible? Sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, plus the perpetrators were known as well. One was even wearing a electronic ankle bracelet and had the ability to have free travel from 9 to 11.
From 9 to 11?
Yeah.
Did you say from 9 to 11?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even make it up. It's ridiculous, you know. And this whole thing, you mentioned FBI before. No disrespect to people who work for the FBI. I am sure that there's a lot of decent, very honest and devoted people in the FBI. But when you look at these operations in the US, every single time you really dig into it, if there are real operatives in it, they have been trained, supplied, and helped by the FBI. And every single time something happens, the FBI is there and clean up the evidence before anyone else can get hold of it, including CCTV footage, including everything.
You know, the Draw Mohammed contest that took place in Texas last year, that was held by Geert Wilders and David Horowitz and Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer. They had the FBI Patsy involved with the incident over there, too, that recently they came out with an article saying that FBI agent apparently egged on Draw Muhammad shooter. So they staged the Draw Muhammad contest, and then they also had the FBI egging on one of these radicalized Islamists.
But there are no radicalized Islamists in these operations. Mm-hmm. It is baloney. This is the official story. Mm-hmm. In all of these different attacks that I looked upon or checked into, and I dig deep, I have not found one single real Muslim terrorist. Maybe there are such a thing. I don't know, but I have not encountered anyone. Instead, what I run into are these agencies again and again and again with crisis actors, with the whole stage or professional killers. But most of the time nowadays, sometimes they mix it so that you have real victims, but then also crisis actors to get the emotional impact through images, you know, like in Norway where you have these, the fear of terror, no, the face of terror, this woman with blood all over her face and so on. And when you check her out, totally fake, absolute fake. I know exactly who he is. I've tracked her down. The whole thing is absolutely fake, fake, fake. If you look on YouTube, I've done many, many lectures on these things. One of them is called When Terror Struck Norway. And in that, I think it's a very, very clear example of how these things are carried out. And what looks like a absolute horrific terror attack, when you start looking into it, it becomes almost hilarious because it's just so bad.
Do you think that some of these people are actual patsies that do take a foul, who are going through the motions of a real trial and facing imprisonment, like Dylan Stormroof with the church shooting, or the Colorado movie theater shooting with the opening of Dark Knight? These type of incidences, do you think that these people were just taking a fall for something that was staged and completely made up?
I mean, the people that get sentenced are totally innocent most of the time, mm-hmm. more or less every time. I don't know any guilty one that has been sentenced for these things. You've got the classic example, Sirhan, who is still there after all of these years, absolutely innocent. I mean, he was part of it, but he was totally mind controlled. Mm-hmm. But this, I love the Robert Kennedy assassination, for instance, because there you can see, is it likely, is it possible, or whatever. You have Sirhan, who was at no point closer than 1.3 meters, I don't know what that is in yards, but a yard in front of Robert Kennedy. He fired, he had a gun with 8 bullets. When you check out the sound recording, it sounds like somewhere between 12 and 14 shots are being fired with a revolver with 8 bullets. How is that possible to start with? Mm-hmm. Also, as soon as he started firing, they jumped him and wrestled him down in the kitchen on one of these hot plates and grabbed the gun away from him. Other people were wounded there, but all 3 shots that hit Kennedy, it was actually 4, but only 3 that really hit him. All of them came from the back and to the right. At no point was he turning his back towards Sirhan. So even a child would ask, so who was standing behind him and to the right? We're talking multiple shooters and the real assassin back and to the right. You don't have to be a super intelligent person to understand that. You just have to look at the evidence. The same with John Lennon, Mark Chapman, also a patsy. He was standing, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, left the limo, started walking in towards the Dakota building. Yoko went first, John came after. Mark Chapman was still behind them and to the right, standing near the limo. When the shots rang out, there was about 5 shots fired straight from the left, so close together that it was hard to even see if there was some of the bullets entered so close that it looked like it was one bullet hole. So I would say a logical question would be, who was standing to the left? from the position where the shots were fired. Is that being a conspiracy theorist? I would say it's being a researcher. What the hell happened? Who stood to the left? And that day, just like this priest you just mentioned in France, that was just there, that very same day, the doorman this evening was their extra this very day. And his name was José Perdomo. For 10 years, he was one of the highest ranking officers in Operation 40, which is a team of top assassins, ultra secret, involved in the JFK assassination. Many of the shooters were directly taken from Operation 40. They were involved in the killing of Che Guevara. They were involved in the overtake of Salvador Allende. They were part of taking out Robert Kennedy. There's also signs of them being part of the Martin Luther King assassination, Robert Smith in South Africa, even the Olof Palme assassination in Sweden, part of it, and more and more. And I spoke to Chip about the world of assassins, and he said the world of skilled assassins is very, very small. There's only very, very few globally that are good enough to be used on these things. So you will see the same people appearing again and again and again and again.
Now, with the Andres Breivik Oslo situation, the Munich attacks was the anniversary of that. Now, yeah. With the Andres Breivik situation, they're showing him going to different trials and photo images of that. Is he really incarcerated? What are your thoughts on that?
I can tell you this, that the people on the island where he's claimed to have been able to kill all of these teenagers, 69 teenagers on this island, he was left there for more than an hour walking around shooting, killing these kids. Even though police were there, the SWAT teams, all of them were there. I've been on the island. I was almost arrested by one of the Delta team that was involved in the whole operation. He threatened to get me arrested and so on. The people on the island said there were witnesses saying from 1 to 5 shooters. There are photos of one of the man that they claim was Breivik shooting. He was a left hand, and he had a different police uniform than Breivik had when he was arrested. Also, the guy that was arrested on the island does not look the same as Anders Breivik that was then taken into the school building on the island. And none of them look like the person in the courtroom. I've been outside the prison where he is as well. It's apparently, you would think, a high security prison. Not. It's only the most important prisoner in Norway. But what they have is what is called a death zone around the prison, which I didn't know. I just knew that when we were close to the prison wall, I started feeling physically ill. And I noticed that the grass around the prison were all brown. Mm. So I asked Chip, and I said, "What do you know what that could be?" And he said, "Yeah, it's a death zone." Apparently, they put in either high-voltage cables underneath the ground. That is what kills the grass roots. Or electromagnetic things, I think. So he said that the currency needs to be on because it takes a while for it to charge. But there is a switch in there. And if anyone gets too close, oh, you're fried potatoes. Mm. So... But it's a very small prison. There's no barbed wire. There's very low walls and so on. So it's very strange place to put a prisoner like that. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing with Anders Breivik is that when you look at the, for instance, in the courtroom, when he walks in and out of the courtroom and so on, I compared a lot of different footage. And when you compare video footage of, for instance, when he sits down and he's being filmed from different angles, there's a lot of you see the flash from cameras, but they don't match up.
Hmm. Interesting.
And also you got like digital glitches where he's sitting nodding, and you can see he's in a loop where it's the same nod being looped and looped, even though the background changes and so on. So there's CGI trickery going on. I don't understand why they're doing it with these when he's in court, but there's definitely something very strange going on around that. Also, I don't know if you saw that he did this Hitler salute thing in court. The first one that I went out and publicly criticized right away was so odd, the way the arm came up and how he was saluting one of the guards instead of the judge. And also, the whole angle of his arm and the contrast against, I'm worked with Photoshop for many, many years. I tell you, that was totally fake. Then after we went out open with that, criticizing it, suddenly there came much more sophisticated versions of it. So why they do this, I don't know. But we are at a point where with the technology nowadays where you can change live YouTube footage with CGI. Have you seen that, where you can have one person with sensors to his face, and then they put dots, for instance, so one guy can sit and control what George Bush is saying?
It's
so scary now, because then, and also you got the digital ID of a voice that you can just it's like a fingerprint. Mm-hmm. Your voice has sort of like a special fingerprint curve or digital curve, and then you can just put that on as a filter, making me sound exactly like Barack Obama or Putin or Trump or whoever, and in live TV, it's very scary, because now what can you trust? You can't trust still photos, that's for sure. You can't show, or you can't trust live footage. There's one incredible example of a Greek, I think he's the foreign minister of Greece, and he's accusing some other thing. He's giving a speech, and he's just standing talking like that. And then he's suddenly he gives the finger while he's speaking. He just, and it looks absolutely perfect, you know. He just da 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 da. Up comes the right hand with it and giving the finger. But we found other footage, the exact same angle. It's the same footage, but where he does not move his right arm. You know, and so I put them together and put it out there to just show side by side that, whoa.
Real quick, I wanted to get something on the record here. Something was sent to me. Erdogan wants to smash secret NATO army over alleged role in Turkey coup. He's actually naming, Turkish media now claims operatives from the clandestine Cold War Operation Gladio took part in the bloodbath, which killed 294 people and injured more than 1,400 others. So the mainstream media is now covering Operation Gladio. What do you think about that?
I tell you, I don't trust anything in the media,
of course,
at the moment. But it comes to a point also when people have become aware of something. It was just like with the Bilderberg group, where there were total denial in the media for so many years that it even existed. The Bilderberg group is part of the world shadow government. If you don't know about that, please Google it, Bilderberg group. Anyway, so it came 2012. Suddenly it came to a point where they couldn't deny it anymore. And then suddenly it came out like, boom, like, no, of course, everybody knows about this. And maybe this is exactly the same thing that happens here. Suddenly Gladio will become a familiar name all over the place, because they can't keep it a secret anymore.
Mm. Well, we've got a couple more minutes. I'd like you to take the floor and share with our audience what people need to be looking for. Whatever you may want to share, go ahead. The floor is yours.
First of all, I want to say that I think it's extremely important how we deal with this situation, because it's very, very easy to become very hateful, angry, violent in your thoughts and so on. How to solve this? Because once you start finding out that the group that are behind so much mayhem and mass killing and death and wars, that they are so very few, they are in the thousands, we are in the billions. Once you start seeing that, many people will think, let's just string them up, let's chop them up in small little pieces and serve them to the dogs. But that, I tell you, is not the way to deal with this, in my opinion. we need to transcend this thing. It's so important how we deal with this situation, and it needs to be nonviolent. It needs to be the Gandhi way. Otherwise, we will just recreate this whole mess. And we are at a point in world history where, for the first time, where we have a possibility to transcend this whole thing and lift this world into the next world level that will be absolutely beautiful. Because just by them stopping, if we can get them to just drop what they're doing, just by that thing, since they're involved in so much, the world would just change in a snap. So I would very much say, instead of looking to kill them or get revenge or anything like that, let's see how can we move forward. And the thing for them as well, because I think the people in the so-called elite, that is what they call themselves, I call them the minority or the likeless, what they can do, because I think they are shitting themselves, they're getting very, very afraid, because they know that once we see them clearly, what are they going to do? There's nowhere to hide. But what they could do is start offering us like peace offerings. There's so many patents that would be fantastic for humanity that they've stolen and just pushed under the floor, under the mat. So they could offer us these. They could hand back trillions of dollars that they've stolen. They could stop robbing us. They can withdraw armies from all of these innocent countries and so on as peace offerings, saying, listen, let's see how we can make a peaceful future for all of us. Because they are like less than 1%. We are 99%. Why not end this once and for all, you know? And let them also, these people that are doing these things are miserable, I think. Or I don't know what drives them, because it's very, very, very dark. But in my opinion, the solution to everything is the power of love, not the power of being in love, you know, like, I fancy you, baby, if you're nice to me, that type of love. I'm talking about the real love, which is an incredible power. And if you look for instance, in laboratories, if you take two frequencies and let them meet each other, the highest in this universe is what we call love. The lowest is what we call pure fear. If you let the two meet, it's not that they end up in the middle and become like 50-50. The lower one just disappears, gets annulled. So whatever the situation is, choose love. That is what I say.
Oli, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope to be in touch with you further in the future and to have you on my radio program once again. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your night and your weekend. And everybody, thank you for listening. This was Oli.
If you enjoy listening to Renegade Broadcasting, but are not also reading Renegade Tribune, you're missing out. We have some of the most insightful and hard-hitting authors from the past and present, covering some of the most taboo and controversial subjects. The Tribune is something you'll want to check out every single day. Perhaps you have what it takes to be an author. Sign up and submit your piece. Join us at RenegadeTribune.com.